Hi, I'm Allison Hare, a former corporate executive on a quest to help you and me create a little more space and freedom in our busy lives. Welcome to the Late Learner Podcast, where here we are breaking down old, tired paradigms. You know, the ones we are all taught to live in. And here we discover more modern approaches that just plain work better for you. So what are we late learning today? Well, have you ever thought to yourself, is there a way I can get paid for sharing funny memes and snarky comments on social media? I know I have. And listen, social media can be like an abusive relationship that you just can't help but coming back to. And if you ever thought about using your online presence to meaningfully connect with others or build a business or grow your impact through your personal brand, you're not going to want to miss this episode. And listen, we never grew up with social media. A lot of the trends and hacks that we're flooded with, chasing followers, chasing likes, it is corrupting our brains. But today, not anymore. Absolutely everything you have heard about social media is completely backwards. And my guest today is Chelsea Peitz. She is a sought-after keynote speaker and social media rebel who has been studying the neuroscience and human behavior as it relates to social media. And today, she is helping us completely have a more productive relationship with it and allowing us to truly connect with each other. Isn't that what we want anyway? We want to be connected. She has designed an entirely new and way more approachable framework, especially for us Gen Xers. And you have got to check out her social media. You'll see why I love her so much. She's bright, she's colorful, she's energetic, she's fun, she's beautiful inside and out. So let's get into it. But before we do, let's get to the good stuff. What is stuff? It's the surprisingly true, useful fun fact. And I want to know, have you heard of the term fexting with an F? It is fighting over text. And there is a new study commissioned by CellCell that shows that almost 80% of people admit to engaging in arguments over text. Now, I don't know about you, but I have been guilty of this. And sometimes it's just easier. Like really the positive of fighting over text is that you have time to carefully think about your response. However, almost 60% report negative impacts on the relationships from arguing over text. And what I would say is that if a relationship is really important to you, in the long run, it's probably better to talk through it live, whether it is on the phone or in person or whatever works for you. As we know, text can always be taken out of context and further degrade our ability to communicate with each other. So next time you are tempted to fire off a big old clapback on text, I want you to think first and consider how important the relationship is to you. Okay. Let's get our social media popping on our own terms with Chelsea Peitz. I am super excited today because we have social media rebel Chelsea Peitz on. Chelsea, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to talk about all things social media, myth busting, human behavior online, and doing it your own way. We're here to give permission about aligning with your authentic self and how to do that in the world of social media.
Well, I think you're doing some pretty amazing things that go against every single tactic. And one thing I heard you say that I loved is that you love marketing with heart and humanity and not hustle and hacks. So I would love for you to help define for us, who is your ideal target audience? Who is your ideal person listening to this?
My ideal human is anyone who is in sales or an entrepreneur or a service-based business, preferably Gen X, because I am a card-carrying member of the Gen Xers. and who are feeling a lot of fear. And the fear is because, one, they're very overwhelmed with so many social media platforms and tips and tactics and social media experts and gurus who are sharing things that seem to go against what the other person last week just shared. So you're feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling confused with the sheer volume of what to do out there. You know you need to create an online presence, especially after all of us had to go online for COVID. We realized we're never going back. We're always going to be using some sort of technology to be communicating with other human beings. And also, those people feel really awkward and misaligned because we did not grow up with social media. Mm-hmm. We grew up with the encyclopedia and Carmen Sandiego and maybe a dial-up internet. And it feels a little unsettling to talk to a camera and then put yourself out there vulnerably for everyone to potentially comment on or engage with. And so the journey of social media is very vulnerable. And last but not least, a lot of us are honestly feeling a bit resentful because we've had whole adult careers for probably decades before social media became on the scene as it is now. And what happens is we see people who we know are not as experienced or talented perhaps as we are, but they're killing it online because they're making videos. And we're like, well, now wait a minute. Are you telling me that I have to become a full-time digital marketer and content creator to be successful in 2024 and beyond? And I don't know if I really want to do that. And quite frankly, I'm not really feeling that. So if that sounds like you, welcome to the show, because that's how we're going to be addressing this audience today for those who maybe feel like they need to be doing social media but aren't so excited to jump into it.
Yeah, I love this because I feel like there is a double-edged sword that you go on social media, you open it up, and you're like, okay, great, I'm going to post something. And then you immediately get distracted and then you start hate watching and like hate following people and you feel like crap. And so it feels weird to want to participate in this thing that can make us feel so bad, but we also crave connection. We also crave wanting to have real relationships with this. And one of the things that you in particular are known for is creating real, live, authentic relationships without spamming people, without all of that. Can you walk us through a little bit? I actually think the way that you post and don't overpost and have this huge following and have this amazing reputation as somebody that really dominates in the social media space, what are we getting wrong? Like, how can we look at social media in a way that's more helpful and not hurtful?
There's a couple of things. Number one, this is the easiest thing. You need to curate your experience. You need to curate your community, because these algorithms, while there are plenty of positives, there are lots of negatives, like anything else in the world. You could say that about TV. You could say that about so many different things like video games, etc. And so your time spent there, your mental health, your emotional health is absolutely number one, first and foremost, right? And so I personally make sure that if somebody is in my feed that might be in my community, maybe there's somebody that you followed for years, maybe you're on Facebook, whether it's Instagram, wherever you're at, you have the opportunity to just mute that person and not see their content if for some reason it is triggering some sort of negative feeling within you. Also, one thing that people ask me all the time is, well, why am I seeing all this random stuff? I don't like the stuff that's in my feed that they're serving, which, by the way, if you're on Instagram, over 40% of the content in your home feed is from people you don't follow. Mm-hmm. People that you don't have any idea who they are. That is something very different than from 3-4 years ago. So we are constantly being fed now content from people that we don't follow. So it's even more important to feed that information, that data. What do you want to see? What do you want to have in your feed? So that means you need to be proactive and you need to type in those keywords into your search platform. If you're into fitness, if you're into premenopausal health journey, if you're into real estate, whatever it is, you need to be consuming content with that intentionality of, this is what I want to see, this is what I don't want to see. And by the way, you can actually tell Instagram, you don't want to see something. You just press and hold on that post and a little menu pops up and you can say not interested. And in fact, when it's feeding you content often, they're going to ask you, are you interested in this or are you not? It happened to me 12 times this weekend because I'm resetting my personal feed. And I would say not interested and yes, I'm interested. So if that feed kind of feels like a dumpster fire, it's time to clean up. It's right. Time to mute people. It's time to intentionally think about where you're spending your time and creating that community that you want to be in. So that's number one. Number two is the permission that I'm going to give everyone who is listening. And that permission is, believe it or not, the algorithm probably doesn't need more content. And that is where almost everybody is frustrated. They're like, ugh, I'm not a content creator. I'm not really great at video yet. I'm not really sure what to say. I know I need a niche because people keep talking about that, but I don't even know how to get started on who my person is. And do I have to have just one person? So it's all of these big overwhelming things,
right?
When it comes to content, what to post, what to say, who are you talking to, and be a copywriter and have a hook and then learn to edit and then all the things. When let's Marty, just look at social media as a vehicle, okay? 25 years ago when I was in sales, I walked into my office and my boss said, how many people did you talk to today? And in 2000, which doesn't seem like it, I feel like that was like 5 years ago, but surprise, it's almost 25 years ago. In 2000, I would say, oh, it was such a busy day. I saw three clients. And you're like, three people? Well, yeah, because I had to drive here and went to coffee and then I went to this meeting and then I had my phone calls. We have the ability to connect with three people in less than 30 seconds without a phone number, without calling and waiting for them to pick up, without leaving a voicemail and waiting for them to return it, without putting a postage stamp on something and mailing it to someone. We don't even have to have your email to connect with you in an intentional human way. We're not spamming people, because what would you do in real life? You would actually connect with people. If you saw someone at Target, you'd say, hey, how are you? How was your weekend? You wouldn't just hand them your business card and say, send me your business, right? So it's this idea that we're behaving very differently on social media because we didn't grow up with it, because we think, well, social media is this different thing. But what we're doing online is not aligning with who we are offline. And we're doing all these things that we would be embarrassed, that we would be found rude for doing if we were in front of that person. So social media is purely a free, at scale way to connect with other human beings, by the way, in places that they're actually paying attention. Because we get into social media and we're like, oh, there's a notification. Somebody must be talking about me. And we have this very different experience of, I want to open this up and see what it is. And so the takeaway here is, use it as a communication tool. And by the way, you don't need to necessarily be posting content all the time. This is my takeaway, my quote. And if you take one thing away from this, it's this. How about less contenting and more commenting? More conversations. How many people did you talk to today? Reduce that content stress of like, let me make a video. I want you to make videos, but let's just start there. Your most important, impactful, influential content is always your conversations. And now you have a way to do it at scale for free from bed while you're having your coffee or tea. And you don't have to make a video. You could just send people some messages. And what happens is the algorithm wakes up and the algorithm says, huh, you're talking to this person. You're talking to Allison. Well, when you do post something to the feed, we'll make sure she sees it.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
So I've got a question. First of all, wow, I love less contenting, more commenting. Here's what I'm noticing, or at least experiencing this anecdotally. I am getting flooded on every single platform with gross tactics. Like a comment, like a bunch of my posts, go right in the DMs, try and pitch me or try and make some, hey, what got you into coaching? Really just stiff, like I don't. And I'm so exhausted. I'm exhausted. I feel like it's obnoxious and it feels really icky. How do you create real meaningful comments? Or again, I genuinely am looking for If I'm on social media, there are people I really would love to get to know, but it's so obnoxious. It's so obvious that there is no, like, they may not even be following me. They might like a few posts and then drop me a DM with some kind of conversation starter. And I just ignore it. And then they'll keep sending like, hey, just want to bump this to the top of your inbox. You know, what is the deal, Chelsea? Make it stop.
Well, I mean, you know, these are people that are probably selling things. Some of them might be scams. A lot of them are in sales. And, you know, I think a lot of people still think it's a numbers game. And you could say that. So let's say you send out, you know, a certain number of the same copy paste types of messages to people. And you might say, well, two of them out of the thousand, you know, responded. So there's two people I wouldn't have had. But think about all the other people that didn't, that you gave that icky, gross feeling to. And so there is always going to be an element of that. And I hopefully think that many salespeople are realizing now that it's not just a numbers game, because we're too savvy. We know about that game. We know that that's a phishing post, that's a scam post, or that's just a post of somebody who's, you know, not following me, trying to get me to into conversation so then they can turn around three DMs later and pitch me their service. So that's probably always going to be here, unfortunately. But I go back to this one thing, the one question I have. When people have limiting beliefs, fears, or questions about social media, truly is, what would you do in real life? Because we have that mindset, again, social media is different. Well, you know, it's just a sales tool. So I'm going to copy and paste a same message to 100 people. It's a numbers game, and two people will get back to me and I'll make an appointment. But we wouldn't probably do that in real life. So the question is, how would you create a relationship with somebody at the conference that you're going to, at the mastermind that you're in, at the school pickup line, or wherever it is? You would start by getting to know them. You would start by, you know, having conversation, and it's going to develop over time. Mm-hmm. Rarely does it happen that you're going to send someone a DM and you're immediately going to be best friends. For me, I would take the time to get to know that person's content, to support their content, and to make sure that they know you have spent the time to take your time out of your day to consume their content. So let's say you posted something and I was like, wow, that was so good. I'm going to share that with my community because I love that quote that Allison just said in this podcast. And I'm with it. I believe it. I don't really know her, but I'm going to share it. I'm going to share that. And I'm going to tag you. And I'm going to say, like, I loved this because, and that's a way for me to help you grow your community and your exposure, but also let you know, like, that resonated with me. And I'm also letting you know that it resonated with me because, and I'm saying something very specific about it. And so now you know that I've spent the time, I've looked into what you're talking about, I've sent you a personalized message too to let you know why it resonated with me and thank you for creating it. And then I just continue to support your content or through your stories over time, just like you would in real life. You're going to create those connections. You're going to put those little deposits. And hopefully you're doing it with the intention of, oh, I'm going to put all these deposits in and consume every video she's ever done and put all these little deposits in there because one day I want to get X, Y, and Z out of the person. Unfortunately, that's just a mindset that some people are going to have, but I can honestly say that's not, mine is always coming from a value. I really loved your stuff. I want to share it. I want to connect with you. Oh my gosh, you have a dog and I have a dog and you have kids and all those relatable things. And so it's really like, what would you do in real life? You're probably not going to meet someone at a conference, say your first name, and then say, hey, who do you work with for X, Y, and Z? Would you consider changing? Right. And that person's like, we literally just met.
Uh-huh. And I think it's confusing, especially for people in Gen X, right? Like, I think we aren't necessarily ahead of the trends when it comes to social media overall. And so when I think about, let's say 2018, and then that was like the influencer time, right? Like you could literally create a business off of a viral post, right? You'll record something, it would go viral, and all of a sudden you'd have a business, a book deal, all of this stuff. And so I think it's really hard now that I feel like when people are looking for or they're searching for, well, let me just post. And then if I get enough likes, then that'll be what I'm about. As people think about their own personal brand, why am I posting? Why am I connecting? Hi, it's Allison. Thanks for listening. If you are going through a big change or contemplating a big shift in your life, maybe it is career, marriage, divorce, a big move, blended family, or you are just looking to get some damn space in your calendar, and you are committed to coming out on the other side victorious, but you're not exactly sure how bumpy it is going to be on the ride. If that sounds like you, we need to talk. There is something so powerful about having someone in your corner bear witness to the next evolution of you and help you clear the path for the next version of yourself, the one of your own design. And if that is you, I want you to schedule a free, no obligation strategy call with me at allisonhair.com/schedule. What purpose do I have here? I think there is like an existential crisis of like, I don't want to seem too showy. I don't know if I'm selling anything, but I do have a point of view. I do have opinions. I do want to connect with people. I want this to be a pleasant experience. And good Lord, wouldn't it be fun if I could create a business? I think that resentment is where you get kicked in the face a little bit, because those, I think it takes us a minute to catch up to like, hey, one viral post is not going to change the trajectory of your life as it was maybe a few years ago when that was happening more often. And now it just becomes more of a fool's gold. What are your thoughts on how to show up as somebody who is trying to navigate what your personal brand and your reputation will look like, and not just posting videos of your dog and your kids?
Well, we love those too, you know this very well. And this is the hard work. And this is the hardest work I've ever personally done as well. So I'm speaking from, this is my heart. I've had to do this too. And I'm still doing it. It's still evolving. And it's really hard.
Yeah.
But the hard work is figuring out, what is your purpose? What is that problem you solve? Who do you solve it for? One of my favorite marketers on the planet is Mr. Seth Godin, who has endless amounts of best-selling books.
He
is a social media marketing rebel. Yes. I love him. He's so great. You already know this then.
Yes.
And he says that it's about serving your smallest viable market. And I like to kind of take that and say, he said viable, friends, not viral. So it's about really knowing, number one, what do you uniquely offer? And that is so hard because we live inside of our bodies all day long. We don't think what we do is really like, you know, that exciting, especially like, let's say I'm a realtor. Okay, well, I'm not like doing heart surgery or sending people to the moon. Like, I don't have a lot of stories that I could share that I feel would inspire people. Or maybe, you know, you're selling a product and you're like, well, how am I going to inspire people because I have this product? But like, so there's a lot of fear around, I have no stories to tell. My life is boring. What I do is boring. Everybody's already said the thing. So what am I going to add to it? Who made me the expert? What if people think I'm an expert? Oh my gosh, what if they think that I have the right answers all the time and they expect me to do that? So all of these fears, and just to simplify it, it's like when somebody says, hey, give me three words that describe you, like my worst fear, because I'm like blank. I'm like, I got nothing. Allison, I haven't even met you in person. I could rattle off three words immediately about you because you are not in me. You are someone else. It's so easy for us to see things in other people. It's so hard for us to see it in ourselves. So the work of figuring out what makes you unique, what your message is, and who are you serving, and what will happen when they work with you or use your product or use your service, that's the hard work. And without that, it's very difficult to start making content that speaks to a specific human being and tells them, hey, here's how I can help you. Is this you? If it is, I can help you. So that stuff usually doesn't get talked about as much. That's the strategy part. That's the hard part. The tactics get talked about all the time. Have a hook, make it less than this many seconds. And you know what? A lot of those tactics do work. And that's the hard part. We get confused and we get caught up because we're like, I'm trying this tactic. But really, if you don't know the crux of who you're serving and how you do it uniquely, the messaging will not be there. And you need the message in order to make the content. But then you start posting the content and nothing happens and you get discouraged and you're like, well, forget it. I told you social media wasn't going to work.
That's the resentment.
So it's this cycle.
Yeah, that's the resentment.
Yeah.
You had posted something about you actually go for less views. And I want to understand, because you are not somebody that posts every single day, three times a day. You are not following these hacks, but you've got a really thoughtfully engaged audience and an approach that really bucks the convention of what people are teaching about with all the hacks and tricks and algorithms and the trends and whatever. Can you talk more about that?
Well, you might also say this quantity over quality. I really sum it up by saying serving your purpose, not just the platform. And I'll talk about what that means. So the purpose is you knowing you, you knowing what you do well, and you knowing how you do it uniquely. And then being able to articulate how you can help your specific group of humans, right? That viable, smallest viable market. And that group of humans probably feels a certain way. They feel resentful. They feel fearful. They feel awkward, whatever it is that they feel. And you can tap into that. So you have to know that part first. And then when you're serving your purpose, it's not always going to be the video, the post that's going to go get massive reach. Because if you've done your work in the beginning, you know that it's not for everyone. My goal is not to go viral. I've gone viral. I hated it.
Why?
Because when you go viral, know that you will also get a lot of people who don't care what you're saying. They will disagree with it. And so if you're not ready for people to have a very specific opinion when you're going viral, unless you have a cute dog video that like literally everybody in the world is probably going to be like, this is amazing. It's going to also bring the negative with the positive. And going viral doesn't mean if you get a million views on a video that you're going to get a million paying clients. It just means that more people saw you. And what if it does go viral and it goes out to like so many people and you are a mortgage expert or you are a realtor? Well, okay, are all those people going to work with you? Probably not. Mm-hmm. So going viral doesn't mean that you're going to see an immediate return or even an extended return on your content. You definitely probably will grow faster. And if you post every day, you will probably grow faster than I will. But what I focus on first is my mental and emotional health and my burnout and my sustainability. I know myself well. And I know that if I start feeling like I have to post every single day, the quality for me will suffer because I'm trying to do the quantity. That means I'm trying to serve the platform and just do all these things to try to get views. Views don't equal value. And if I say, what can I control? Because I don't look at my metrics either. I make up my own meaningful metrics. Again, not for everybody. I do that because I know myself. Mm-hmm. I know that I will not even do it if it becomes overwhelming. So what I do is things that I can control. Okay, I'm going to post three times a week in the feed. I control that. It's not about views. It's not about this. Okay, did I send a message to the person in this video that is struggling with feeling resentful about being in social media? Check mark, I did. Okay, I achieved that, what I put down there.
So relatable.
Did I initiate 25 conversations with human beings and talk to them? I control that. And because I've built an engaged community, people engage, people see me, and people talk to me because I have spent years talking to people and engaging. And so the number one thing, if you're like, I'm just not ready to do videos, I just don't have the bandwidth, I'm having a really tough time, I'm in a season of my business and life right now where I just mentally and emotionally can't. What you can do is still talk to people and you can still have human connections And the more you talk to people, the more those people will eventually see your future content. And the more you talk to them, the more they're going to engage because you're doing it with authenticity. You're not scripting it. You're literally like, oh my gosh, your dog is so cute. I love that. They're telling you what to talk about. When you're posting it on social media, you just talk to them about what they're putting out there and creating those relationships. And so for me, it's number one about the community and pouring into them. And number two, it's about serving my purpose and knowing that if I serve my purpose, it's not going to be the viral video. If I do a 3-minute video on Instagram Reels and everybody else is doing a 4-second B-roll looping one, which by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. I love to have variety and fun and also do some trends. But I also know that the right person is seeking out somebody who is a thought leader and authority, and they need to hear my voice. They need to hear my experience, my personality, and my unique perspective. And so maybe 2 people watch that video, but maybe one of them signs up with me and coaches with me versus 30,000 people that saw it and nothing happened. Maybe I got some likes. So it's hard to not look at the metrics. Mm-hmm. It still trips me up.
Yeah.
But I've just decided for me, I'm going to do this because if I know who I'm serving and I know that my messaging is on point and my messaging is good and it's resonating and people are seeing it, also have to remember, I call it, you got to love your lurkers. You got to love your lurkers because we're all lurkers right now. And that's not a negative thing. We're out there being fed all this information, right? And now we're just watching it like TV. But people are connecting while they're consuming and they will never leave you a trackable metric because I will go and speak somewhere on a stage and somebody will say, oh my gosh, I've been following you for 3 years.
It's so true.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even know who you are. Oh no, I haven't even like ever sent you a message, but like, I love your dogs. How's Daisy? How's Jasper? I saw you were at spring break with your family. How fun. Yes, people are connecting while consuming and you will never know sometimes until they reach out to you. So keep going.
So I freaking love this. And I think what is sprinkled in this so powerfully is how much permission it is to not follow the trends, to do what feels right and be yourself. And I would love if you could break down quickly the trust framework, because I think that's so powerful.
So the trust framework came about. I just recently spoke at Social Media Marketing World, and the request from their team was, hey, we'd like you to talk about how to turn your Instagram posts into profits. And so, of course, coming from my ethos, I thought, well, high converting content requires high level trust. And that really is key. And we build that trust through a strategy, which I'll walk through quickly. And there's much more to it, but just to kind of go through it. And of course, it's an acronym. So it spells out the word trust. So if you are taking notes, you can write this down.
Take notes, yes.
The first T in trust is tailor crafted. And that is a nod to knowing how your audience is feeling, not only after they work with you, but you need to know how they're feeling before they work with you or use your product or service, how they feel while they are in the process. So if you're a coach, how are they feeling before they even are using your coaching? Probably not very good. There's probably a lot of negatives, right? Then you want to know, how do they feel during your coaching program? And how do they feel after? Why do you need to know those feeling words? And by the way, I use the emotions wheel. If you can just Google it. My therapist turned me onto that years ago because I was like, I don't know, happy, sad, mad. That was it. All I had was 3 emotions. Uh-huh. And they're like, no. There's so many different emotions and nuances. And what happens is you use those words in your copy. So that word resentful that we've been talking about, the reason it hits so much is because we do feel resentful. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not saying it, if I'm not addressing it, you're like, oh my gosh, that's me. How are you in my head right now? And this isn't a copywriting technique. It is, but it's really about understanding your audience and compassionately serving them because you know how they feel. So tailor crafting your audience and your message so that you can serve them compassionately. The R is relatable. This is the part that haunts us because we think we have no stories to tell. And I dive into the science of not only telling stories, which is scientifically proven to connect other people with you, but also using the format
of Instagram stories, because that's where most of your conversions will come from. A lot of people are shocked to hear that they will get more conversions and sales through Instagram stories and the DMs versus posting stuff out to the feed. You need both. But there is a scientific reason that people trust more and accelerate trust in the stories format than the feed. And it's because they're seeing your face, because they're getting a behind the scenes, it's unedited. And when we see unedited content, we feel it to be more truthful and authentic. And I also get to speak to you and nobody else knows that I spoke to you. We have a real-time shared experience with one another. So relatable storytelling, sharing some of those personal, not private, stories that connect with other human beings, that's really key. And if you are a larger brand, we know that brands are absolutely working on, number one, paying people a lot of money to borrow their face because they know humans connect with humans. Mm-hmm. And they also tell stories. So relatable content is a large key to building that trust and accelerating it. The you is a word that I made up, which is uncopy-pastable. And it's about how do we create sort of that thought leadership? How do we become known for something, especially if we're talking about something that a lot of other people do? And so for example, this trust framework, that's what I did. I made something uncopy-pastable. You have a process. You have a methodology. You have a step-by-step. You're already doing it, but you maybe haven't given it a name. And that's where these people that we look at and we admire, we think, wow, they can speak about their topic so well. And it just made so much sense to me when she put it in that trust format. It's about taking what you do and packaging it in a way that becomes uncopy-pastable. And that becomes your brand and the way that you do it, even though so many other people, there are so many other social media coaches in the world. We're all talking about the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's creating that uncopy-pastability of taking what you already do and putting it in a package that is really uniquely about you, because that's how you really set yourself up as a trusted authority and a thought leader. The S is strategic structure. This is the tactics. This is the tactics that everybody's out there, you know, talking about, and they work, right? You also have to know how to structure your keywords, how to use hashtags, how to use a hook at the beginning of your video. And so I walk through that process of how to structure your content for optimization, for the maximum potential of maybe getting more reach or maybe getting higher watch time. Those tactics do not replace not having a message or knowing who you're talking to. They can only take you so far. And the last T in trust is timeless, because I don't teach a lot about the traditional metrics or the trends. It's about timeless strategies that have worked forever with humans of creating trust, making good content that is serving them, that is solving their problems, that is answering the questions they are looking for, that is clearly telling them this is why you need X and this can help you achieve Y. And being authentic and is a timeless strategy. And it's also a nod to, we love trends. We love the tips and tricks and all of that. I'm not saying to not do trends. Like, have fun. You deserve to have joy when you create your content. I hope you're having some. If you're miserable, oh my gosh, you're just not going to make it, right? We're not going to make it. Mm. None of us want to do that. So you have permission to do some things that are fun. And if that's a trend for you, go for it. And also, if it's only trends, like let's say you're a professional speaker and you want to get out there on the keynote stage, you want to do a TED talk one day. Okay, great. Well, what if I come to your social media, which is where a lot of us vet people because it's quick, it's easy, I can scan and I can get a vibe for who you are, what you talk about. What if all you have posted are little trend clips where I can't hear you talking, I don't know what your topic is, but these are all blowing up and going viral? Cool. If you're teaching people how to go viral, that's the kind of content we want to see.
Right.
But know, what do you want to get hired for? If you want to be hired as a relationship coach, I need to have some substance in that content. Now, have fun with some trends and make your trend about being a relationship coach. Mm-hmm. And also, Let me accelerate that humanity and trust by hearing what you have to say and how you uniquely deliver that. So we have to know what your goal is and what you want to be hired for, because certain tactics are going to work better for people. If you are selling Instagram coaching, well, you're probably going to get more views on your content because people are obviously on Instagram while they're watching it.
Right.
Versus, I want to help you build a garden. Okay. Maybe there's some people that are interested in that, but you have to kind of know too what you're looking for. So it really depends on what your goal is with that. But timeless strategies, the reason they say timeless is they've worked forever, right? And there's the formats that change and the way you deliver it, but ultimately knowing who you're serving, knowing who you are and how you serve those people and communicating that and knowing how you can help them is the key. And that's also the hard part.
This is freaking gold, Chelsea. Gold. How can
people- Well, hopefully I could make my way up to Seth Godin level because he's like the goat.
He is the goat. How do people get in touch with you? I know you have so many resources to help people as they build this out. It's so relatable. There's so much permission to just show up in a more authentic way and make it a much better experience. How do people get to either work with you or find out more?
Yes. Thank you for asking. The best place to connect with me is my website, which is just my first and last name. And I have a uniquely spelled and pronounced last name. So I'm going to spell it. So it's chelseapeitz.com. It's P-E-I-T-Z. And it rhymes with lights. And you can also find me under the same name at Instagram and send me a direct message. Let me know if you listen to the show. I love to say hello to people and connect with them that have came from a podcast, especially if you're a friend and a listener of Allison. I know that we would align. And I have a bunch of freebies and downloads on both my website and also my Instagram. And I do a quarterly live group coaching that is called Building Your Uncopy-Pastable Brand. And we focus primarily on Instagram, but we talk about video and how to find that audience. Everything that we talked about here is basically wrapped up into that 4-week live coaching program.
Oh, that's amazing. Chelsea, I'm going to link everything in the show notes. Thank you so, so much for sharing your expertise and your style with us today. We are lucky, lucky.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, Chelsea Peitz is so refreshing and real, isn't she? You can register for her masterclass, Uncopy-Pastable, and get all the goods right from her. I've linked her info in the show notes. Please make sure you reach out to her. Let her know you heard about her from the Late Learner podcast. And as for you, I would love if you can shoot me a DM and tell me what hit home for you. And I would also be remiss if I didn't ask you that if you are considering a lifestyle change, meaning you are running too hard and too fast and don't know how to get off that hamster wheel and get a little more control over it, let's talk. I'm offering a free, no obligation strategy call at allisonhair.com/schedule. As always, I've linked everything in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening and sharing this podcast and these ideas with your friends. That is how you start a movement and change a culture. Until next episode, I'll see you on the socials.